This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. You can re-listen to this program on my website, and you can contact me if you have prayer requests by regular mail. So if you'd like my website address, or if you'd like the mailing address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now today I want to spend some time on the issue of sorrows. We have the sorrows of the cross, but we also have the sorrows of life. And we have the sorrows that are associated with not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know there is sorrow in this life. We know it starts with childbearing because of the sin in the garden. The Lord told Eve that she would bear her children in sorrow. And Adam would till the ground and cultivate the ground in the sorrow of his brow. And recently, my wife and I have experienced or witnessed, we haven't really experienced a lot of sorrow. We have seen untimely deaths. We've seen cancer diagnosis in some of our friends. We've seen car accidents. And we have seen storms that have affected people. And of course, it reminds us that this life is a life that changes. It can change overnight. Things may be going well, and then all of a sudden, there may be a lot of sorrow. I have personally, in my reading, been a reading through the book of Job. And Job was a righteous man, and yet he was afflicted by Satan. He was tested by Satan, and God allowed it. And that testing caused him a great deal of sorrow, so much sorrow that he would have been happy if he had never been born, so much sorrow that he would have been happy if the Lord had taken his life. He did not take his own, but there was that much sorrow, and he didn't understand that sorrow. And in his case, the sorrow reminds us of the sorrow of the cross, because it was a sorrow of a righteous man. His friends thought, of course, he must have sinned. And we often think that if somebody is going through sorrow, they must have sinned. And sometimes that is why they go through sorrow. But sometimes the sorrow is just simply to be a testimony to Satan that there are people that will worship the Lord because he's the Lord, rather than because of what they're getting out of it, that there's no material advantage necessarily associated with worshiping the Lord. Now, I want to read again a verse that we read often here, Isaiah 53 and verse 3, speaking of the Lord Jesus and speaking about him 700 years before he actually went to the cross. We read, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." And of course, this is written from a Jewish perspective. We can all apply this to ourselves, but it was true that the Jews hid, as it were, their faces from him. He was despised, and the Jews did not esteem him, but then neither did we until the day came when we realized that as sinners we needed a Savior and we trusted Christ for salvation. But the Lord was a man of sorrows. Sometimes we sing a hymn, "Man of Sorrows." What a name for the Son of Man who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Sorrow in this life makes us face this issue of sin because, as we've already stated, sin was the reason for sorrow. When sin came into the world, that's when sorrow came into the world. And now, as we go through life, there are many things that cause sorrow. I think it's the 116th Psalm. Verse 3 says, the psalmist says, "The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me." The pangs of hell really laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. And that's the situation in this life. Oftentimes, we find that people do suffer. Now, I realize that when people suffer, there's always the question, why? Why does God allow that suffering? Because if we were God, we would probably not allow it. The 10th chapter of Proverbs, verse 22, is a verse we often like to look at. And it maybe help us with regard to this issue of why the Lord allows sorrow. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And so when we look at the sorrow of this life, we have to recognize that the sorrow of this life is not caused by the Lord. It's caused by sin. The sorrows of this life are proof that Satan is real. Well, I remember when I was talking to people right after 9/11, when those towers in New York, the World Trade Center towers went down, and they were talking about all of the people that were affected by that and the great calamity that had taken place. And I said, well, you know, many people will question whether the Lord really is real, whether the Almighty God is real, whether the Creator God is real. But how can you deny that there's an evil influence in this world and that the God of this world, Satan, is real? No one in their right mind would cause the kind of sorrow that that caused. And so I believe, personally, by experience, that sorrow makes us face the reality that there is good and there's bad, and that the good is associated with God and the bad is associated with Satan. And so when we think about this matter of sorrow, it makes us realize that we might go through sorrow in this life, and some of that sorrow may be of our own making. God will allow it. And some of that sorrow may be attacks by Satan if we are Christ-like Christians who Satan wants to test. Some of that sorrow may be Satan's testing. Even the boils that Job had were inflicted by Satan, even though Satan had to ask God to lay his hand upon Job, yet it says Satan went out and afflicted Job with those boils. So many of the diseases that we have and many of the problems that we have, while being allowed by God, they are afflictions of Satan, a demented mind, a murderer and a liar, one who wants us to turn away from the Lord because he would like us to believe that God is cruel, when in fact the cruel one is the God of this world, that is Satan himself. And so when we look at the sorrows of this life, it makes us realize that there is a good God, and he is the God who created us. He's the God who sent his son to the cross to die for us. He's the one who allowed his son to become the man of sorrows, who was acquainted with grief, so that we might not have sorrow for all eternity. And really, trusting Christ then is the solution for sorrow. Satan causes sorrow, but God allows it. But God does not cause it. And so it is true that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and God adds no sorrow with it. I have never talked to a person who has come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who would ever go back 5 minutes before they came to know the Lord and would deny that and would think that they were better off before they trusted the Lord than after. Now, I say that because knowing that there are people who say they've trusted the Lord and don't trust him anymore. But I'm talking about people with real confidence, real faith in the Lord. Today, they would not want to go back 5 minutes before they trusted Christ and live their life that way, with the potential of dying and going to hell, and with the potential of going through the sorrows of this life without the comfort of the Holy Spirit to guide and keep us as we go through these sorrows. But the thing I guess that's been before me is that we don't often speak about the sorrows that occur on the part of those who reject Christ eternally. We like to talk about the love of God, and we should talk about the love of God. We like to talk about the blessing of God. We like to talk about the grace of God, but we don't like to talk about what's going to happen to those who live for sin and self in this life and turn away from the Lord and have no need for him. And we read about this kind of a person in Luke chapter 16. We've covered this before, but I want to remind you of this passage again today. There were two men. One was a rich man who had it good in this life, and one was a beggar who had it difficult in this life. And when We aren't told why there was a difference in the two men, but the rest of the Bible makes it clear that the beggar was a person who trusted in the living God, in Jehovah, and had had his sins forgiven, and the rich man was one who was self-centered and did not believe what the Scripture said. And so when we look at Luke 16, the rich man dies, and in hell he lifts up his eyes. In Sheol he lifts up his eyes, being in torment. And verse 24 says, "Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me." Now, mercy was available before he died. Unfortunately, mercy is never available after we die. But he asks for it here. He says, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." Now, Lazarus, he is the one who has had it bad in this life, but he's now comforted, and he's now in a place of bliss. And this rich man wants Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool the tongue, his tongue. He says, "For I am tormented in this flame." Well, Lazarus would have had to have gone across that great divide and got into the flame to cool that man's tongue. Why would anyone want to do that? But then I'm just kind of using my sanctified imagination as to how that could have happened. Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil or bad things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented." And I want to emphasize the fact that that is the two destinies that we have in life. We have those who are suffering under the wrath of God, who are under the wrath of God and are going to experience the wrath of God, and we have those who are protected by the blood of Christ, and while they may not have it so good in this life, they may suffer like Job did at the hand of Satan, with God allowing it, but in the next life, God is going to wipe every tear away from their eyes. And the rebellious are going to, even at some point in this life, get a chance to experience the wrath of God, because when we look at the prophetic program, the day is going to come when God is going to unleash his fury on this Christ-rejecting earth. But I understand that the Christian, the believer, is going to be taken away before that happens, because we have been delivered from the wrath to come. But I've been thinking about Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15, when after that wrath begins to be poured out on the earth, these self-centered people, these self-sufficient people are going to say, it's going to be the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" And friend, trust in the Lord, so that the sorrows of this life are all you experience, and you do not ever experience the sorrows of a Christ rejecter in the next. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon all that has been of thyself. Bless the program. Bless our listeners. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our address, our mailing address, is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.